Well, once upon a time, a researcher was getting ready to write a dissertation, and she was writing it about churches. And the first church that she had in her study, she was going to travel, and the first one that she went, she met with the pastor, and he gave her a tour of the church building. And as she was looking around, she noticed that there was one door kind of far off that almost seemed hidden, and she noticed it out of the corner of her eye. So she asked the pastor, you know, tell me about, what's the deal with that room? And he was kind of reluctant, but eventually she persisted and he said, okay, I'll show you the room. So he unlocked it and it was a really small room and all that was in it was a payphone. That's it. And she looked at the payphone and it said, God, $1,000 per minute. So she was confused and asked the pastor, like, what's the deal with this phone? And he said, well, every now and then we get into these real bad situations and we don't know what to do, so we have to call God and ask him directly. So we have this line, but as you can see, it's really expensive, so we only call him when we really, really need to hear from him. So she's like, oh, okay. Is that? So then she went to another church building and she saw the same thing. And she took a tour of all these churches in different parts of the world, and she noticed that they all had this room that was hidden out of view, and it had that phone. And they all said the same thing, God, $1,000 a minute. Finally, she got to her last church, which was in Indianapolis, Indiana. And she talked to the pastor, and she saw the room, and he let her in. But this phone said, God, 25 cents. And she was really confused, and she asked the pastor about it. He said, yeah, it's other places. I know it's $1,000 a minute to talk with God, but right now, you are in Indianapolis, and God is a local call. Okay. So I know that's a really cheesy joke, and people only my age and older get it because other people are thinking, what's a payphone? What's the deal with 25 cents? So I've included some pictures here, so maybe you understand. But again, I digress. Cheesy joke, yeah, I know. But a few weeks ago, my son Caleb, who wrestles with these deep theological questions at night, said, I don't think I've ever heard God. I don't think God talks to me. And he asked, well, how do you know that God is talking? And I thought, wow, that's a good one. And I even asked him later, get permission, Caleb, can I tell about your question? And he said, yes. He goes, because that is a question that I ask at least once every hour. And I thought, like father, like son. Like, how do you know God is speaking to you? I looked around Meridian, and I think we may have accidentally thrown that phone away because I don't have this direct line to God. I used to think that. I used to be confused. I used to think that maybe some preachers or some special people of God had this like special line to God where he'd be real clear and tell them what to do, like just kind of go by step to outline what needed to happen. But I've been confounded by this because some of my struggle comes from past experience. I've had times when I just thought God was speaking to me. But then later I thought, you know, that was probably more Daniel than God. Like I was like, and then I've also heard people say things like, God told me, fill in the blank, so-and-so. Or we know that God, so-and-so. And when I've heard some of these things, I thought, you know, that just doesn't sound like something God would say to me. Or I don't know that about God. And so I've kind of struggled with people and with myself of, is it really God or not? Because maybe you've had similar experiences where you thought maybe somebody was an overconfident spokesperson of God as they were talking to you and telling you what God said, and they maybe had this message for you from God or said something about God that you thought, you know, that's just not right. Or maybe you've been like me and questioned, like, I thought that was God. But now I don't think that was God. Today we're gonna struggle with that question. How do you hear God's voice? Because I suspect I'm not the only one, and Caleb is not the only one who gets confounded by these questions and wondering, was that God or was that me or was that someone else? Like, what's God have to say? Now, throughout the Gospels, we see that those people who opposed Jesus were said to have ears but didn't hear and eyes that didn't see. And those comments in Scripture, made both in the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, talks about how some people and Jesus' opponents were in this category. They had ears that didn't hear and eyes that didn't see. One of them specifically is that we'll read is from Matthew 13, 15, and Jesus said this, and he was referring to some things that were said in the Hebrew Scriptures too. He says, "For this people's heart," he's talking about people around him, his opponents, those people who were really dominant in the religious thought life in Israel in his time. But he said, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and they might hear with their ears, and they might understand with their hearts. And if they would, and turn, and I would heal them." Jesus seemed to struggle with these kind of questions. He's just wishing. They're not listening. Now, have you ever been listening to a sermon and thought something like, "I wish so-and-so were listening to this"? Or maybe you're even, maybe the person's next to you or a few people down, like, I hope he or she is listening right now. Or maybe even been tempted to use the elbow a bit to say, "Hey, you know, listen up here." Have you ever thought that? Or just heard something, just like, "Man, I just wish this person would be able to hear this because they really need to hear it right now." You might even be thinking that today. You've heard, you know, some people who just won't listen. It's like, "Man, I wish that person were here. I hope that person is listening." But that brings us to a dilemma. How do you tell someone who doesn't listen that they don't listen? Right? How do you tell someone who isn't listening that they don't listen? Like, that is a really hard question to answer. Now, Jesus said this 6 times in the Synoptic Gospels, and then the 4th Gospel writer, John, attributed Jesus saying this 7 or 8 times in Revelation, depending on how you read it. So all 4 of the Gospel writers in some way said that Jesus said it, but it was this. So Jesus clearly said this several times, but it was this: "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, when Jesus was on earth, there were a lot of people who didn't listen to what he had to say. Some even claimed they called him a glutton, that he ate too much. They called him a drunkard. He got drunk. He drank too much. They called him a friend of sinners. They said lots of things about him. They called him demon-possessed was one of the things they called him. They said when he did a miracle, it was by the power of Satan that he did those miracles. It seems like his opponents do something that maybe is a human tendency whenever they don't understand or are challenged in some way, to call names. And it seems like demon-possessed was one of the names that they liked, because they even said John the Baptist. They didn't quite understand him either. They didn't like what he was doing, so they called him demon-possessed too. Now, I was thinking about how Jesus' opponents called him and John the Baptist demon-possessed. I was thinking they were kind of like Mama and the water boy. Like, if you don't see something, if you disagree with something, it's the devil, right? Foosball is the devil, or girls are the devil, or whatever it is. But so Jesus, they didn't quite understand him. John the Baptist, so what do they say? He's the devil. He does it by the devil. So that's a pretty pretty powerful charge there that they made against Jesus. And thinking about why. Why was it that Jesus' opponents just didn't listen? Why were so many people characterized as having ears but didn't hear? And one thing that we might call it, psychologists have this term called confirmation bias. And what that is, it's the tendency to interpret new evidence as confirmation of one's existing beliefs or theories. So, or as you see it there, attributing greater meaning to so-called evidence that supports your existing beliefs while ignoring information that contradicts it. Now, are you thinking of someone you want to listen to the sermon right now? Like, be honest, yeah, right? Now, you probably know some people like this. No matter what kind of evidence there is, no matter what fact, like, it always confirms what they're already thinking. Now, confirmation bias is kind of why, after a sport, a heated, highly contested sporting event, both fans walk away saying that the refs cheated our team, right? Because we have this tendency as people to look through the filter of confirmation bias. And so Jesus didn't quite confirm everything that his opponents wanted to hear. So they just couldn't hear what he had to say. A Jewish ear would have heard when Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. They would have heard shades of Psalm 46, the Hebrew scriptures. So they would have been kind of reminded of this passage. And this is a really interesting statement in the Psalms. My ears you have opened. Because the term there for opened, interestingly, it's an excavation term. What it means is to dig through some really dense material. Again, you're thinking of somebody wanting to hear this, right? Like there's the ear, and then there's this dense material, and to like dig through all that really dense material before you can hear. Like, have you ever said something like, I wish that he or she could get it through their thick skull, right? Like that's saying there's ears, and there's this really dense material that's preventing anything from being heard. So again, how do you get somebody, how do you tell somebody that they're not listening who doesn't listen? Not easily, right? So as we think about this and think about what the psalmist said, my ears you have opened. And I know as a person, sometimes I get this one wrong. And maybe sometimes is a nice way of looking at it. But sometimes I get this wrong, and my thinking changes. Instead of my ears you have opened, it's more like their ears you have opened. Like, I hope my mouth is the mouthpiece that gets their ears to finally listen to the truth. There's this, again, tendency. There's this tendency that we have a lot of times to focus on how other people are getting things wrong. And I think sometimes we get sidetracked by thinking about all the misguided people and worrying about how they're not hearing or how they need to hear something and they're just not listening. But the psalmist says, my ears you have opened. He's taking a look in the mirror. This morning, I talked to Caleb again, and I said, before I speak, Caleb, is there anything else that I should talk about this morning as we're talking about listening to God and how hard it can be at times? And he said, yeah. He said, talk to people about what not to think about when you're listening to God. And his example was, sometimes I think maybe I'm just doubting God, you're not real. And I'm thinking, God's not real, and it keeps me. So I thought that was interesting. What not to think about when we're listening to God? And Jesus gives us this really great picture of two people who were in prayer. This is in the Gospel of Luke. And as he focused on it, there was one person who was really self-righteous. And in his prayer, it was about, God, thank you that I'm not like all of these people who really need to listen to you. All these people who are disobedient, unlike me. And I'm doing the right things. I'm fasting, I'm tithing, and I'm faithful to you. Thank you. Thank you for that. And then Jesus talks about a tax collector, a sinner, who wouldn't even look up to God, but simply said, have mercy on me, a sinner. So Jesus was saying, man, when you're coming, one of the things not to focus on was like the self-righteous person. What's wrong with everybody else? Why I'm right and they're wrong. And that can be really hard to do in a time when we're just surrounded by all kinds of people who are wrong, aren't we? Like, it can be so hard. But Jesus said again, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I think one of the reasons that makes it hard is because we don't really want to hear from God. I know I have those fears because it can be scary. Truth can be scary too. Like sometimes we just don't really want to know. Like it can be scary. Like if we talk to God and he speaks to us, he might show us our hidden faults. He might show us that we're wrong about something that we thought we were right about. And that can be a little scary to learn the truth of that. Maybe sometimes God will talk to us, he might ask us to confess something that we just really don't want to confess. It's just too hard and we don't really want to know if that would be better for us because it's just hard. Sometimes I think we worry that God maybe will ask us to change in a way we just don't want to change. It can be so hard. Or maybe God will ask us to be in a relationship with somebody we just don't like. To be a part of something we're just not eager about. Or maybe even to cut off a relationship that we want to be in that's not healthy. God might tell us something that we don't want to hear. Maybe it'll be something like let go of some money we don't want to let go of. Maybe it would be giving some time, and we don't want to give time. We want to use time for something else, time or effort. Or maybe God will speak to us about a lifestyle that we just don't want to change, and we're afraid that he might want us to do something differently that we don't want to do. So God may tell us something that's inconvenient or that hurts us in some way, hurts our feelings or makes us feel vulnerable or awkward in some way. So it can be scary. And I think sometimes maybe it's hard to hear God because we don't really want to. The truth, again, can be pretty scary. So we allow that dense material. We kind of let things in there that will maybe keep us from hearing, as a protecting us from hearing things that we just don't want to hear. So let's go back to Caleb's original question. How do you hear God? You ready for this one? This is profound. Take notes. You're going to think, wow, you're really well-trained theologically. How do you hear God? Here's one answer. You listen. And maybe you keep listening, because it's not, there's no phone line to God. Oh, that's a myth. And probably some of the overconfident spokespersons that make you feel like they hear from God in a way that you don't. I wouldn't trust too much in that either. But God is not just, he just doesn't, not a phone call away. You can't just text him. Or you can't just send an email or just have a conversation, even with a mask, right? So we can't just say something and just hear it back and expect to hear within a few seconds or a few minutes God's answer to us clearly. So you listen and you keep listening and you keep listening and you follow. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We offer ourselves to God in truth. We surrender to God's will. Your kingdom come and your will be done. It's a little scary. Might have to do something I don't want. When we do that, when we're open to God's will, when we're surrendered, then we hear, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we listen, and we keep listening, and we act on it, we follow. We listen and we hear something, and then we don't just like ignore it, but we do something. We follow. We listen and we keep listening. And we follow. Because God wants to speak to you and to me way more than we even want to hear what he has to say. And communication was God's idea. God knows how to do it. God's so good, he doesn't even need to have an audible voice to speak to us in. God doesn't even need to have a text to send back and forth to us because God knows how to speak. The bigger challenge is how do we listen? How do we hear? Because God desires to speak more than we desire to hear. So do we desire to hear? So maybe this morning you sense God speaking and you want to listen and you want to follow. You have this desire. You're like, yeah, I want to follow Christ. I want to surrender to God's will. I want to really be open to what God has to say to me, even if it's something that I'd rather not hear. So if that's you, I'm going to offer this prayer. I just invite you to just pray it with me quietly. God, I sense that you are speaking to me. And I want to have ears that are open to hear. I believe that you exist and that you reward those who seek you. And I seek to follow Jesus. Please fill me with your spirit and give me eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that understands. And help me take my next step toward you and your love. Amen. Even though we don't want to hear sometimes what God has to say, it's one of the things is that we believe that Jesus taught us is that God, our Father in heaven, knows best and that his will for us is good. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God's will is good. In all things, God works for the good. Even if we don't want to hear it, it's for good. It's for good. So Jesus, again, imagine what happens. What can happen in our lives if we're people who keep listening. Keep listening to that still small voice. Keep being open to truth. Jesus taught us when he said, keep seeking and you will find. Keep asking. Keep asking. And eventually, you're going to get an answer. It's going to be given to you. Keep knocking. That's the verb that we have there is continual continual action. So keep asking. Don't give up. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And we could even add, I think fairly, keep listening. Keep listening and you're going to hear. Hold in there. Don't give up. Just keep listening. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep listening and you're going to hear. And it's going to be something that's good because God's heart is turned toward us for our good. Will you pray with us? Heavenly Father, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. As human beings living in a noisy world filled with distractions, it can be hard to hear your voice. Now, whether we are caught in a lie or simply don't really want to hear the truth, today, we take the small step of asking you to open our ears. Please dig through whatever dense material may be there that might keep us from hearing what is true and right and good. Please give us eyes that see and ears that hear so we can turn and be healed. There's some people who are hard for us to listen to, but help us, again, to be quick to listen so that we can keep learning how to love better. We need your help so that we aren't merely adding to the noise. And please use us to do the work of Christ who came to heal. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.